This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
620 CKRM is proud to be your voice for everything ag. Welcome to SaskAg Today with your host, Tanner Wallace Scribner.
Tanner Wallace Scribner here, filling in for Ryan Young on today's edition of SaskAg Today for Milligan Bio. The leading buyer of heated and damaged canola in Saskatchewan wants to buy your seed. Visit MilliganBio.com and buy Arcola Co-op. You're at home here on Highway 13 in Arcola. On today's show, we're going to chat with APAS President Ian Boxall about the Bunge-Viterra merger and his concerns over the possibility of those organizations joining together. Plus, we'll have Kevin Hirsch on the show to chat about what's happening in agriculture, plus much more, including your farm weather, market and livestock reports, as well as the resource report. All that and much more is coming up on SaskAg Today.
This is SaskAg Today with your host, Tanner Wallace Scribner.
Tanner Wallace Scribner filling in for Ryan Young on today's show for Johnston's Grain, your first and last stop for grain pricing and crop protection and farm fresh water. Fix your water problems, visit farmfreshwater.ca. The Agriculture Producers Association of Saskatchewan, Alberta Grains, Sask Barley, and Sask Wheat are raising serious concerns about the proposed merger between Bunge and Viterra and the resulting economic losses that could happen for producers. A recent study on the potential effects of the proposed merger on the grain sector in Western Canada, conducted by Dr. Richard Gray, Dr. James Nolan, and Dr. Peter Slade from the University of Saskatchewan, with support from the organization, found the merger is likely to cause substantial economic harm to grain producers. The results support the findings of the Competition Bureau's review that the merger is likely to result in substantial anti-competitive effects and harm competition in markets for grain purchasing. We chatted with APAS President Ian Boxall and got his thoughts about the merger.
I think by the looks of the report, we're concerned about lots when it comes to the merger. You know, financial impacts to producers, you know, industry considerations. There's a lot of things that this merger, at the end of the day, will not be beneficial to farmers.
And can you talk a little bit about the findings of that report and maybe a little bit more specifics as to why this won't be a good thing for farmers?
Well, I think anytime you have amalgamation and you lose competition, it's bad, right? Let's be honest. Anytime we have less competition in any sector, any industry, it's worse for the people that rely on that sector. So that being the main thing, lack of competition. But, you know, the report that we did in conjunction with the other groups, you know, it shows that, you know, there are almost $800 million per year projected financial blow to Saskatchewan farmers, right? Which is significant when you consider that, right? You know, and nearly 45%. The other consideration for this is the port and how the port manages and how important that asset is to Canada and to export in the country and the province that exports as much as we do. And 45% of that port will be now managed by one entity. What does that do for competition? And how does that look, right? So this is not good for producers.
And we saw that the Competition Bureau also reviewed the merger. What were your thoughts on how all that played out and Bunge and Viterra's response to the Bureau's review of the merger?
Well, I think the Competition Bureau just solidified what we've been saying for months, is that this is not a benefit to producers and it's not a benefit to Saskatchewan. And the Competition Bureau just pounded that home. You know, we have elevator companies that complain about our duopoly and our railroad system, right? That they don't get adequate service because really there's only two, they don't have alternatives. But yet they're turning around and trying to do the same thing to us when it comes to grain marketing, and when it comes to delivery points. And what's that going to do for, you know, competition when it comes to contracts? What's it going to do for Viterra's announcement of their crushing plant in Regina? What happens to that now if they're owned by a company that has crushing plants in the province? What happens to that investment for Saskatchewan? And so at the end of the day, this is just, we do not believe that this is a benefit to anybody besides the shareholders of Bunge and Viterra. Nobody else will benefit from this merger.
And what are you kind of urging? What are the groups, your guys' groups looking to do? Is this something you're going to the federal government? Are you going straight to Bunky and Viterra? What are the
We're going to go to everybody. We're going to go to every level of government, provincial and federal, and we're going to go to Bunky and Viterra, and I think we're going to let people know that this is not what Saskatchewan producers need to be successful, is this merger. There's no benefit to producers that we can see, that this report sees. There's nothing there. It is a benefit only to shareholders, and at the end of the day, we need to ensure that competition within that marketplace in Saskatchewan and Canada is kept.
And are you hoping that the Competition Bureau and the federal government will possibly block this deal or put in some type of, writing that means they either have to sell off assets or what do you think?
After reading the report that we commissioned and the findings that are in it, I think the merger needs blocked. I think it's too big of a merger for them to divest in any assets. I think overall for the betterment of producers in Saskatchewan and the Canadian economy, this merger needs blocked.
And Ian, is there anything else you want to add or touch on just regarding obviously this merger? Obviously this is huge news and just kind of the impacts that it might be felt for producers here in the province and also across the country.
I guess we just strongly urge governments to make sure that they scrutinize these mergers, that they are looking at all of it and that they are looking at the costs and the projected cost to producers and what the trickle-down effect that that'll have on all of the economies, rural, provincial, all of it. So we want to make sure that the government's looking at this and that it's they understand how important this is and how devastating this merger would be to Saskatchewan and Canadian producers.
Boxall and the other groups are overall strongly urging the federal government to consider the impact of the proposed merger on the profitability and sustainability of farmers. Given the lack of existing competition within the grain sector, farther consolidation will lead to substantial economic losses for both farmers and the Canadian economy, the groups add. For a full look at the report that was commissioned by the four groups, you can visit APAS's website at apas.ca.
We're back with Sask Ag Today with Tanner Wallace-Gribner on 620 CKRM.
This portion of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Municipal Hail Insurance. Crop insurance at a cost, municipalhail.ca. Several key issues were covered during Friday's SaskEggToday.com roundtable. One of them was the Competition Bureau's report on the proposed Bunge-Viterra merger, which identified concerns with reduced competition for grain buying in the West and selling of canola oil in the East, among other things. Both companies responded in a statement acknowledging those concerns but felt they were misplaced. Here's what Kevin Hirsch, Chief Agriculture Editor of SaskEggToday.com, had to say about it.
Well, most analysts are betting that to make the merger go ahead or get clearance, that they'll have to divest of some assets. It's possible that maybe Bunge will have to divest its minority interest in G3. It's possible maybe it would just be certain facilities that they'll have to divest, but it will be a dance around that. And I'm sure the companies will try to convince the Competition Bureau that some of their concerns are overblown. But at the end of the day, I think there's going to be some assets up for sale to make the deal go through and get approval.
The Canadian Grain Commission has a new commissioner in it, David Hunt, who was a long-term public servant in the Manitoba government. Hershimitsi doesn't know much about Hunt.
Biography that came out of the Canadian Grain Commission listed him briefly in the beginning of his career with Richardson and Puritone, didn't really say what his role was with them, and then he joined Manitoba Agriculture in 2007. Well, that sounds good, Manitoba Agriculture, but you look at the portfolios and what he's done there, it's everything from veterinary diagnostics to climate change kind of work and not really in the grain sector. So I was expecting that when the chief commissioner was announced that it would be a name that we would all recognize, a farm group leader, a prominent farmer, somebody out of the grain trade. So I'm a bit surprised. I hope that his qualifications and his abilities are better than what they appear just looking at his resume. And I hope that it's just a case of nobody wanted the job and he was the best of the lot. So we'll have to give him the benefit of the doubt. But
Next was the U.S. dairy cattle sector grappling with the spread of the avian flu. Colombia announced it would stop importing American beef from the affected U.S. states. Hirsch described the issue as a slow-moving train wreck.
That every week there's just another little item that worries the market a little more. And you hear that cattle prices are really high, but you also hear that this nagging fear that this problem could become bigger is affecting American futures prices on cattle. So it's still something that really bears watching. Perhaps it will fade away, but I'm afraid that as they dig deeper, we may have more ramifications that won't be pleasant. But that's just a hunch. I really think that it's something though to pay attention to. That it's something that has the potential to be a significant issue.
He also commented on wheat and canola prices, which were up overall last week.
There is some market sentiment now that perhaps things are looking brighter in the wheat market. There's a number of analysts out there that have changed their stance to some degree. And it's good to see a bit of strength in canola. Personally, I don't think we're going to see it skyrocket, but if it can maintain even between $14 and $15 a bushel net to producers, that will be... A lot of the expectations are that that's where we're going to be, but there is some fresh buzz that due to a number of events around the world, that the wheat situation looks more promising price-wise than it has for some time.
Finally, seeding was brought up during the roundtable, and Hirsch, who farms in the Cabri area of southwest Saskatchewan, is one of the few producers who's out in the field.
Yeah, we've been here at Cabri, you know, pecking away at it the last 2 or 3 days. Not a whole lot of activity yet. There's spraying and people getting ready. This is probably on average about the typical start time for us. Last year, actually, it was a little later. It was into May just because a little bit of inclement weather at the end of April. But this would be typical of the time for us. But I'm surprised that some of the people you guys have seen and talked to that in other areas of the province that aren't always going this early that are up and running already.
There are reports of producers in the Avonhurst and Fillmore areas of the province that have started seeding. The next edition of the SaskAgToday.com roundtable is this Friday and will be available on the 620 CKRM YouTube channel as well as Sask Ag Today.
You're tuned in to Sask Ag Today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Now today's Ag Review with Doug Falconer of GX94, brought to you by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamps Integra Tire in Grenfell. Your locally owned Integra Tire dealers in My Grain Exchange. Ready to market your 2023 crop? Head over to MyGrainExchange.com and try their low-risk grain auctions.
The Canadian Food Inspection Agency, or CFIA, says it has not detected a case of highly pathogenic avian influenza in cattle in Canada at this time, and is not currently testing for traces of the virus in raw or pasteurized milk. They say, as with many reportable diseases in animals, testing is being recommended based on suspicion of the disease through, for example, the presence of clinical signs. The CFIA says it is aware of the U.S. findings of inactivated avian flu virus particles in pasteurized milk samples through quantitative polymerase chain reaction testing, but they note positive results do not necessarily indicate that there is active virus in the milk and the risk to consumers remains low. The CFIA says avian flu is not a food safety concern, as pasteurization is required for the sale of cow's milk in Canada. Spring wheat bids in Western Canada climbed higher during the weekend at April 25th, as a rally in United States futures provided support. Chart-based speculative buying was behind much of the strength in the futures, as fund traders bought back some of their large net short position. Declining crop ratings for U.S. winter wheat, the ongoing conflict between Russia and Ukraine, and the possibility that India will need to import wheat to replenish its own tightening supplies all contributed to the gains. Average Canada Western Red Spring 13.5% wheat prices were up by $18.70 to $21.80 Canadian per metric ton across the prairies, according to price quotes from a cross-section of delivery points compiled by PDQ. Average prices ranged from $320 per metric ton in southeastern Saskatchewan to as high as $339.20 per metric ton in southern Alberta. Polish farmers called off their protest at the last border crossing with Ukraine today, lifting a blockade that has dragged on for months, soured bilateral relations, and buffeted Ukraine's trade. Polish truckers, later joined by farmers, have blocked border crossings with Ukraine since late autumn last year, amid concerns over unfair competition and cheap grain. They have cited government inaction over a loss of business to foreign competitors since Russia's war on Ukraine, with truckers from Ukraine exempt from seeking permits to cross the Polish border. Ukraine's border guard spokesman said Polish farmers had ended the blockade at the Rawa-Ruska crossing this morning. The Polish Farm Ministry said late last night that farmers had announced a suspension following talks with their agriculture minister. Bayer shareholder Deka Investment says it will not join other large investors in supporting the healthcare and agriculture group's management at its annual general meeting. Two other larger German mutual fund management houses have said they would vote in favor of approving the management board's actions, while two shareholder advisory firms have recommended such a vote. Bayer CEO Bill Anderson will face questions at the AGM over his decision in March to suspend for up to 3 years any preparations to break apart the German maker of pharmaceuticals, crop protection products, and consumer health remedies. Anderson, who became CEO in June of 2023, has had a tumultuous start with a continued wave of U.S. litigation about an alleged cancer-causing effect of weed killer glyphosate and a major setback in drug development late last year. During the province's last snow dump, one Saskatchewan cattle farming couple received more than snow. A cow gave birth to not one, but four calves. On the morning of April 19th, south of Tisdale, Mark and Aaron Van Hastert initially discovered one of their cows had given birth to three calves. Aaron says she took them into the barn to get them warm, and when Mark went back about three quarters of an hour later to get the mom, they discovered she'd had a fourth calf. The four calves, named Orangala, Greenalope, Bluthany, and Nobody, were born 2 weeks premature, but with extra TLC, the quadruplets are doing fine. And that's today's Ag Review. I'm Doug Faulkner.
It's your Sask Ag Today weather on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM Farm Precision Weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 18566. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in with no appointment necessary or visit moosejawchuckshop.com. Here's our chat with Eric about precision weather.
Just looking at the forecast, maybe bad news if you're in the city and you want to just enjoy some sunny skies, but for those in agriculture, some good chances of precipitation coming in the next week.
Yeah, that is the theme here, at least in the short-term forecast. Looks like rain several days of it, the steadiest rain short-term, but deeper into the forecast is showery. It is still relatively mild, at least over the next 36 hours. So this afternoon, we should top out around a high of 19. There are the chance for a few stray showers, mainly towards sunset. Winds away from the southwest at 15 to 25. It's mostly clear early tonight. Then the clouds do thicken up quickly after midnight. Should be dry. Lows will fall back to around 4. Winds are relatively light from the southeast as well. Tomorrow starts the first day of showers and steadier rainfall, especially in the afternoon near sunset. Highs will only climb to 12. Still relatively mild for this time of year. Not too bad. Winds from the southeast stronger in the afternoon, between 20 and 35, with gusts between 45 and 60. Rain will continue overnight into Wednesday, lows back to around 2. Winds will then pivot to the southwest to between 10 and 20. We'll find showers and more rainfall during the day on Wednesday. It's a soggy day through the entire stretch. Winds pivot to the northeast at 15 to 30, highs up to 10, and showers are expected to continue Thursday and even Friday too. Highs both days will range between 7 and 8, and it looks like the unsettled stretch may even continue into the weekend. So good news for agriculture here, adding some rainfall as we get deeper into spring. If you're not a fan of the rain, you have to give it a few days before things begin to improve here deeper into the forecast.
And looking at the normal high for the day, the normal high is 16, normal low 1. Sunrise was at 5:36 this morning. Sunset set for 8:17. Tonight, looking around the province at this hour, Collins Bay is the cold spot in the province at plus 1. Saskatoon, the warm spot at plus 17. Elsewhere in the province, Estevan at plus 11. Kindersley at plus 14. Battlefords and Swift Current also at plus 14. Weyburn plus 14, and Yorkton at plus 12. In Moose Jaw at this hour, it's mostly cloudy and 17 degrees, and in Regina, it's mostly cloudy and 18 degrees. That's been your farm weather forecast.
Catch up with all your ag news anytime at saskagtoday.com. Now, back to Saskag Today with Tanner Wallace Scribner on 620 CKRM.
This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers. We're guaranteed the best buying and selling experience, McDougallAuction.com, and by Pattison Liquid Systems. Experts in liquid fertilizer distribution, fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. There are some reports of some farmers around Saskatchewan finally seeding. Crops extension specialist Shannon Chant is based in Swift Current, where soil moisture conditions are dry, and she's noticed a few producers in the field.
Yeah, we definitely could use some moisture. From what I've heard, though, it's not too bad. So things will hopefully get off to a pretty good start. I will never say no to moisture down here. In kind of whatever form, hopefully we're done with the snow for a while. But yeah, things are looking not too bad. I've seen a few people out seeding already. There's a couple of tractors out collecting rocks, too. It's a bit more of an issue for some fields in the southwest. But yeah, no, things are getting going. I'm sure there's probably seeding that's been underway for a while. In the extreme southwest, kind of Maple Creek area or Consul, that area usually gets going earlier than our area here in Swift Current.
For this time of year, we're heading into the last few days of April here. Is this kind of usually when the southwest kind of starts seeding? Because traditionally, they're usually the first ones to get going.
Yeah, usually they're the first ones to get going. In some years, it's been earlier on in April, sometimes even up to the first week in the extreme southwest. But the last few years, we have had some snow in April, so probably getting a bit, I wouldn't say a slow start. It's certainly a good time for seeding, but just sometimes a bit different than other years.
What have you been hearing from farmers? Are they kind of optimistic for the season, or is it kind of a bit of concern? What have you been hearing from farmers?
I haven't talked to a lot of farmers lately. Ones that I've been talking to are talking about kind of weed control. Kochia is something that comes up as a bit of a concern, especially with some of the herbicide resistance out there, as well as Russian thistle and a few kind of other weeds. The questions I've had were in cereals, but there's also questions for different crops as well for weed control.
And as a follow-up to that, maybe just kind of flipping that around to other crop extension specialists that I presume that you talk to on occasion, to kind of what have they been saying and what have they been hearing from other producers?
A lot of people just get kind of getting ready to seed, again, some weed control questions, possibly some seeding temperatures, seeding rates as well as something that people ask. You can do a calculation that's a bit more specific if you go through using your 1,000 kernel weight and what you're targeting for your plant population, as well as kind of your germination rate. You can kind of target it for your field too and vary it a bit depending on your moisture conditions going in or other conditions. Say you have potentially you have a lot of weeds in the field, then it might be useful to bump up your seeding rate a bit just to help that competition between the crop and the weeds.
That was Shannon Chante, Crops Extension Specialist with the Saskatchewan's Ministry of Agriculture, chatting with 620 CKRM's Agri-News Director Ryan Young. We'll have more from their chat after the break.
You're tuned in to SaskAg Today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
This segment of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Degelman Industries. Look to Degelman for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market in Arcola Building Supplies. Small town lumberyard, big on service, ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. We're at the time of the year when the province-wide crop report could be released any week now. 620 CKRM Agri-News Director Ryan Young asked Crop Extension Specialist Shannon Chant of when we could see the first crop report.
I think sometime in the next couple of weeks. I know they've been collecting data already, but I think sometime in the next 2 or 3 weeks, the crop report will start going.
Perfect. And in terms of crop reporters, I know last year there was a call out to more volunteers to do that sort of thing. In the Southwest there, do you have enough volunteers to kind of contribute to the crop report?
Well, we could always use more for sure, but there was definitely some spots that got filled in the Southwest where there's some new crop reporters, which we really appreciate, and across the province as well. So it's always great when we have new crop reporters. Also, sometimes when crop reporters are retiring, they'll actually have somebody kind of lined up or in mind to kind of take over for them in that area. So that's something that's really, really helpful for us.
Awesome. And for those that don't know, just kind of summarize as best you can, you know, some of the things that the crop reporters do and some of the questions that are asked.
Yeah, for some of the crop report, the questions that come in are the data they're looking for is, you know, moisture, percent seeding, different how things are looking for topsoil moisture for crops and also for pastures, and just kind of any other observations people have made in their area.
The first crop report of 2023 was released in early May.
Here's the market update with Tanner Wallace Scribner on 620 CKRM.
Here's a look at your market update with the latest Viterra grain prices. Canola's up $4.30 to $5.96.12. One red spring wheat up just over a dollar to $3.25.79. Everything else remained unchanged. Durum at $4.31. Feed barley at $2.32.58. Chickpeas at $9.92.08. Flax at $6.29.54. Lentils at $7.87.50. Oats at $2.71.32, yellow peas at $4.74.72, and feed wheat at $2.33.45. The grain prices can be found online anytime at 620ckrm.com.
The SaskAg Today Livestock Reports on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620ckrm.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn at 842-4574. Now hear the latest livestock quotes with Heartland Livestock in Swift Current.
Heartland Livestock Market Report. It's Brett Jensen reporting from the Swift Current Yards. With 2,300 head on offer last week, here's how it went. Good cows traded from 170 to 192. Medium cows, they were $1.30 to 170. Good bulls traded from 190 to 214. Heiferettes were $2 to 245. Into the feeder cattle from Thursday, steers at four weights, they were bringing 370 to 446. Five weight steers, 365 to 444. The six weight steers, they were bringing 370 to 403. Seven weights, they were 340 to 391. Eight weight steers, they were bringing 240 to 326. And the nine weights, they were 305 to 317. Into the heifer trade, four weight heifers, they were 374 to 421. Five weight heifers, they were 310 to 411. Getting into the six weight heifers, they were 317 to 365. Seven weight heifers were 290 all the way up to 351 on some of the breeding types. The eight weight heifers, they were 258 to 311. Upcoming sales here, regular sale, all class sales this Tuesday, expecting about 300 to 500 head on offer. For further information, please give Lee, Brett, Donnie, or John a call, 773-3174. Canada's source for quality, Heartland Livestock in Swift Current.
Coming up next, it's the Resource Report.
It's the SaskAg Today Resource Reports on 620 CKRM. Here's Tanner Wallace Scribner.
Tanner Wallace Scribner filling in for Ryan Young on today's show. Now it's time for the Resource Report, brought to you by your local branded Petro-Canada wholesaler serving southern Saskatchewan for over 40 years. Fill up the tank, call Mazenk at 306-721-6667. To help enable nuclear development in the province, SaskPower and the Saskatchewan Research Council have joined CANDU Owners Group, COG, as members. Both SaskPower and SRC will gain access to research, technical workshops, and peer groups focused on environmental and regulatory affairs, nuclear safety, used fuel management, and emergency planning. SaskPower has participated in COG's SMR technology forum since 2016 and has collaborated with Canadian nuclear utilities on various topics, including regulatory considerations, licensing, fuel supply, used fuel management, and nuclear power plant safety. SRC is currently pursuing the license and demonstration of a microreactor in Saskatchewan. Microreactors can be deployed in remote areas to generate industrial heat and electricity for various applications. SRC is continuing to work with communities, industry, indigenous groups to advance microreactors in the province. SaskPower and SRC join other Canadian organizations, including Ontario Power Generation, Bruce Power, New Brunswick Power, and the Canadian Nuclear Laboratories. Switching on the markets, the TSX is down 30 points. The Dow Jones is up 89. Oil is actually down, $1.22 to be trading at $82.63 US, and the Canadian dollar is up 0.06 of a cent to be trading at $73.21 US. That's the Resource Report. If you missed any segment of the show, tune into the on-demand Sask Ag Today podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. That's been Sask Ag Today.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive Pre-Emergent Herbicide.